The book of Ecclesiastes that we just heard read from is a book that really asks a lot of deep questions regarding what life is all about. Some have considered it a more philosophical sort of book in the Bible because it asks that sort of question or goes on that sort of investigation of what's the meaning of life? Why are we here? What's our existence all about? These big questions that people have asked through the ages. And in a sense, Ecclesiastes is almost a bit of a mystery in sorts in terms of in Ecclesiastes, we're led through that investigation. And different things are looked at and examined. Is this what life is all about? Well, no, it's not that. Well, maybe it's this. Is this where the answer is found? No, it's not that either. Is it this? And so it's sort of a mystery, if you will, as we read through Ecclesiastes and then finally coming to the end and figuring out what it is all about. That's what I want us to think about this morning within Ecclesiastes and how this book is really a search for meaning. The meaning of why we're here. What are our lives ultimately about? And there's a lot of different answers that people might give to those questions. Answers that you can find through the years, answers that you can see being given today as to what life is about. But this book really comes to the conclusion of what it really is all about. And so as we think about Ecclesiastes, we're going to look at that and this idea of different things being investigated. And as we go through, it's almost like there's a magnifying glass here. And we're going through Ecclesiastes and different things are being put under the magnifying glass. Different things are being looked at. To ask that question, is this where fulfillment's found? Is this what life is all about? And there's a handful of things that we're going to look at as we go on this journey through Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is thought of as one of the wisdom books in the Old Testament. It's usually associated with Solomon. So we have Proverbs as a wisdom book. Song of Solomon also is another one. And then we have Ecclesiastes as well. One of the traditions that is out there, things that are thought about, is that maybe some of these writings represent different time frames or different seasons of life within the life of Solomon. So maybe Song of Solomon is written within a certain period of life. Maybe some of the Proverbs are written within a period of life. And maybe Ecclesiastes is written in a later period of life. But whatever the case might be, Ecclesiastes tends to be grouped with these other wisdom sorts of writings in the Old Testament that are meant to guide life, to give wisdom about how to think about different situations, how to think about different things. The book begins with those verses that we just heard read a moment ago in verses 1 and 2. And this really serves as an introduction of sorts to the book. It says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." In the introduction that we have here, we have a word that's going to be very important throughout Ecclesiastes. The word vanity. Vanity of vanity, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And what the word vanity really means, which is going to be used all throughout this book, is something that isn't lasting. It can't really be held on to. Something like a vapor is the sort of thing that the word has reference to. Or think about boiling a pot of water on the stove. And there's steam that comes up. It's just there for a second. It's not a thing that you can hold on to and do anything with. It's very temporary, very fleeting. You see it for a minute and then you don't. It's not lasting. It just comes and goes. That's the sort of connotation of the word vanity. That life and the things in life are like that. It's very short. It's not something that we really can hold on to and grasp. But you just see it for a moment and then you don't. It might even make us think of the verse in James in chapter 4 and verse 14 of that book. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And that really does connect with the sorts of things that we see in Ecclesiastes. This being the case, that even life itself is just a vapor. How then do we think about life? How do we think about all the things around us and all the things that we engage with? So let's start our journey through the book of Ecclesiastes. And our writer of Ecclesiastes, who's going to lead us through this journey, investigates a variety of things and puts a variety of things under the magnifying glass, if you will, to try to solve what's the mystery of what this life is all about. And so where we will start this morning is with pleasure. Pleasure is put under the magnifying glass. And the word as it's used in Ecclesiastes really has the idea of festivities. Going out and celebrating something. That sort of a thing. Is that where meaning is really found? In festivities, in celebrations? Is that really going to be what life is all about? So that rock is turned over, and what's discovered is that that's vanity. In Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 and 2, I said to myself, come now and I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness, and of pleasure, what does it accomplish? So, festivities, celebrations, going out and having a good time on an occasion. Well, that's not really what life is all about. That's futility, it says. That's a thing that's just going to pass. It doesn't last. Well, then, property or projects is put under investigation. Maybe the real meaning of life is found in working on things, in building things, in having properties, in doing projects, that sort of thing. It says in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 4 through 6, I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. And then we skip to verse 11. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. All those things in the first part here, those sound like good things. Houses and vineyards and gardens and parks and fruit trees and pools. But then he looks around and he concludes that all of that too is vanity and a striving after wind. None of that lasts. All of that is just sort of like the steam that comes off the stove. It is there for a minute, and then it's not there anymore. You can't really hold on to it. You can't really attain it. It's just fleeting. It's temporary. Well, next, as we keep moving through this book, we come to wisdom, which might sound a bit odd or sort of ironic that in a book about wisdom, wisdom is going to be examined. But wisdom is now investigated, and that rock is turned over. Maybe it's in wisdom and in gaining wisdom in this world that real meaning is going to be found. After all, Solomon was considered the wisest of people. But when the wisdom we can attain in this world is investigated, it's discovered that not even there is ultimate meaning found. It says in Ecclesiastes 2, 15 and 16, "Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For the wise, as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. Even the wisest person in all the world is going to come to the same end as the foolish, most foolish person in all the world, as far as this life is concerned. They're both going to die. How the wise dies just like the fool. So it must not be in just solely acquiring wisdom, as valuable as wisdom is, it must not be in just the attainment of wisdom that true life and meaning is found, because it's concluded here, the wise person dies just like the fool. And this also is vanity. Well, as we keep going through Ecclesiastes, we come to another thing to be investigated, another rock to turn over and see if this is where real meaning is, what we'll call an inheritance or leaving a legacy. Some people spend all their days trying to accumulate something that they can pass on, something that they can be remembered for. People maybe want to have some sort of a foundation, or have their name on a building, or a road named after them, or that sort of thing. And so the idea of being able to pass something along is now put under the magnifying glass. Is that what life is all about? And it says in Ecclesiastes 2, 18 and 19, "I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I have toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity." If we work really hard to build something up that we can then pass on to somebody else, he concludes, well, you don't know what that person's going to do with it. Who knows whether the person who inherits everything will be wise or a fool? So that too is vanity. That too is something temporary that isn't where real meaning is found. Well, we keep going through Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes rather, the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, and we see wealth. A theme that we see in the wisdom writings, and that we've touched on already in Ecclesiastes, but maybe it's wealth. Maybe that's where true meaning is found. If it's none of these other things, maybe it's in wealth. But it says in Ecclesiastes 4, 7, and 8, "Again I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business." putting all our energy into acquiring more and more, it says, is also vanity and ultimately unhappy. A similar verse in the next chapter, Ecclesiastes 5, 10 and 11. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? This is an interesting verse in Ecclesiastes, one of those that paints a vivid picture. How often have we heard stories of somebody maybe coming into a lot of money or that sort of thing? And then suddenly that person has all sorts of friends and all sorts of long-lost relatives that come out of the woodwork because now this person has all these things. And that's what's being said here, is that when goods increase, so do the people that want to consume those goods. Well, if it's not all these things that we've talked about, maybe it's just found in something like laughter. Maybe just being lighthearted and just laughing as we go through life. Maybe that's the right approach. But we discover that that's not the answer either. It says in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 6, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools." This also is vanity. You read through Ecclesiastes and you start to get the impression that everything is vanity. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. Oh, maybe it's in just understanding things. Just understanding how events occur. Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Maybe if we just can understand things, maybe that's what leads to fulfillment and contentment. And it's not that either. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 14, it says, "There's a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous." I said that this is also vanity. Well, maybe if it's not all these things, maybe it's something like old age. Maybe if we can just live to be, as they say, a ripe old age, that'll be what life is all about. And I've known of people who have just wanted to make it to 70, or wanted to make it to 80, or maybe wanted to make it to 100. If you can just do that, then life will be fulfilling. Maybe that's the answer. But Ecclesiastes says that that's not it either. We're moving through the book. We're getting closer to the end. Chapter 11 and verse 8. "So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity." Well, if it's not old age, maybe it's the flip side of that. Maybe it's youth. Maybe being young and finding the fountain of youth, maybe that's where true meaning is found. On the one hand, we hear people emphasizing wanting to grow old. On the other hand, you can hear people emphasizing youth and wanting to always be youthful and stay young and have vigor and all of these things. But Ecclesiastes goes on to say that it's also not in youth. "Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity." So even youth is said to be vanity. Well, as we get to the end of the book, I know that many of us here know how the book concludes. After putting the magnifying glass over all these things, after turning over all these different rocks and going down all these different paths, the end of it is, fear God and keep His commandments. That is what life is all about. That is man's all. That's the whole duty of what we're to be doing. But before we get there, there is another interesting thing about the book of Ecclesiastes. That whereas vanity is a key word throughout the book, this is vanity, this is vanity, this is also vanity. Vanity is all throughout the book. Another word or group of words that comes up in Ecclesiastes is joy. Or rejoice. So all these things are vanity, leading us to the conclusion, fear God and keep His commandments. But the other key word in Ecclesiastes is joy and rejoice. Realizing that all these things are vain and life is about fearing God, well, in the right now, realize what God has given you. And find what you can today to be joyful about. Find what you can today to realize that this is a gift of God and I'll rejoice in it. So if we chart through some of those before we end our time together. In Ecclesiastes 2, verses 24 and 25, for there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without Him? The things that we have come from God. The food that we have to eat, places where we live, the jobs we have to do, those things come from God. And there is enjoyment to be found in that realization that He's the one that supplied us with that. In Ecclesiastes 3, 12 and 13, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. Again, in the lives that we live right now, it's the hand of God that gives us all that we have. So acknowledge that. Rejoice in that. In chapter 3 and verse 22, I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? We find the same idea again in chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Here's what I have seen to be good and fitting, to eat and to drink and to enjoy oneself, in all one's labor in which he toils under the sun, during the few years of his life which God has given him. For this is his reward. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. And it's just interesting as we go through, these verses are dropped into the midst of all the verses about vanity. This is vanity, and this is vanity, and this isn't where fulfillment ultimately is found. But rejoice in what God gives to you. And this is vanity, and this is vain, and this is vanity, and this is vain. But rejoice in the things God gives to you. That's kind of the structure as you move through Ecclesiastes. You come over a couple chapters in chapter 7, verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man will not discover anything that will be after him. Well, having moved through Ecclesiastes, we come to the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Ecclesiastes takes us on this search for meaning. What is life all about? And the conclusion is that having relationship with God is truly the thing that's lasting. That's the thing that we can hold on to. If vanity refers to something that's just fleeting, well, the opposite of that is relationship with God, the thing that can be held on to, that can be there forever. And so we want to encourage you this morning as we come to the end of our service that if you're not in relationship with God, that is ultimately what life is all about. About knowing our Creator, going through this life in relationship with the One who made us and who made all things. And it's through Christ that we can have that relationship. If you're here and you need to begin that life this morning by being baptized, having your sins washed away, and living a new life, we would love to help anyone with that. Or if we can help you and encourage you in any other way, we certainly want to as we sing our invitation song. So if you have a need, please let that be known as we stand and sing. Swiftly.